Hi, and welcome to the debut of a new show here at Nintendo Report. The name of the show is The Weyonder Years, or The Weyonder Years. I'm not entirely sure, actually, but I'm your host, Neil Ronahan, and joining me for this debut episode are John Raritan.
Greetings.
And Don Koopman.
Hello.
So the point of The Weyonder Years is it's a look back at the 10-plus years that Nintendo carried on the Wii name. With the Switch currently on the cusp of coming out, and the Wii U essentially dead as a doornail, the Wii name looks like it's going to kind of, you know, go right off into the sunset. So we're going to start back from its humble origins as a revolution in 2004 and 2005, and episode by episode, we're going to cover entire years, or in the case of this one, we're actually covering 2006 and the pre reveal stuff from the years before. And we'll cover each year of the Wii and Wii U's lives. And then, that's the show. So without further ado, let's talk about how we kind of first heard about the Wii when it was just known as the Revolution. We were all pretty young back then, but John, what do you remember of the hype around the Revolution?
I remember being very confused about what it was, what it did. Once we did start to see controllers, backwards compatibility, they started talking about virtual console stuff of playing old games. I just remember thinking, like, what is this thing and how does it work? Because at the time, at least for me, like, the idea of like downloading old games hadn't really occurred to me. And obviously, like, once we did get to, you know, the controller and everything, that was weird. And it was, I just didn't know what to think of it. It felt totally different from any other game system I had heard of.
I think for me, it got really exciting because the DS was actually the first Nintendo system that like I pre-ordered and got on day one. Like I got other ones like, you know, holidays or birthdays right around after they came out. But the DS, like I had a pre-order, went to the mall and I got it. It was great. And I was starting. Like I was always very into Nintendo, but I was becoming more actively current into Nintendo when the Revolution was announced. And I was a big fan of the GameCube, and I was kind of sad that the GameCube was starting to get a short shrift. And I kind of looked to the Revolution as a lot of what people kind of looked to the NX as, where people dreamed it to be this killer of PlayStation 2 and Xbox, this thing that would cement Nintendo as like the rightful heir to having the best, biggest console of all time. And then we found out that it was like two DVDs big or whatever.
That was one of those like weird things to me was like, I would take like stacks of DVDs and be like, that being that small, I mean, the GameCube was small, but the Wii was in the context of like, you know, the original Xbox, which is roughly the density of the sun. Like the Wii was just barely like it, legally it didn't even exist. Like it was ridiculously small.
So I started hearing about Revolution pretty much when E3 was around. Back in around that time, I used to go to GameSpot.com a lot because they would have like the most complete coverage with video stuff that I would have seen on the internet back then. There was the Jeff Kurzman and, of course, the Ryan Davis eras. So it was the perfect era back then. they were pretty quick in uploading, like, elements of that press conference, as I remember. And I got to see, like, the short reveal that Iwata did with the Revolution, which in itself was sort of confusing. I remember thinking from, okay, so it's going to play old games, so it's going to have this entire library. And we've seen the console, but what is it going to be like for the rest? And I just remember being unsure what the future would bring.
Yeah, it was a very exciting time. And it's also like it's weird to kind of think back then to think that Iwata was, what, like a year and a half, 2 years into being president of Nintendo. There was still a lot of doubt. Like the DS wasn't immediately successful. And they're revealing their successor to the GameCube, and people doubted it heavily. Although, I mean, definitely in the Nintendo community, the Revolution got our minds our minds wandering and very excited. It's kind of weird how similar like the hype for the Revolution was to kind of the hype for the NX and now the Switch. Like thinking about, like, it's weird doing when I initially planned this show, we didn't really know what the Switch was in totality, but now that we do, the comparisons between the Revolution hype cycle to becoming the Wii are very similar to the NX hype cycle to becoming the Switch.
To be fair, in hindsight, 2005's E3 Nintendo press conference is a very quotable press conference.
Yes, it is.
In many ways, I remember the line about how the PSP wasn't even launched in Europe yet, and they were there when they thought they would, which was some hard talk from Nintendo, which they don't really do anymore.
Mm-hmm. That would have been the second year of Reggie at E3. Yeah. But as we get to later in 2005, September 15th, 2005, is when at a TGS keynote, Satoru Iwata revealed the Revolution controller. And I actually have, from an article written by Dan Bloodworth, now of Easy Allies fame, formerly of Nintendo World Report. It's a little recap of a press release, but the original press release is in this article, and I'm going to read it right now.
Okay.
Nintendo reveals revolutionary controller in keynote speech. Innovation key to broadening games audience. Tokyo, September 16th, 2005. Every gamer who plays, everyone who used to play, even those who have yet to play, Nintendo is your bet. As the cornerstone of his speech today at the Tokyo Game Show's annual event, Nintendo President Satoru Iwata elaborated on the theme of the company's aim and proven ability to broaden the population of video game players. Two shining examples highlighted in his keynote include the smash hit sales of the highly innovative Nintendogs game for the portable Nintendo DS system and the new controller that will be central to the company's upcoming console system, codenamed Revolution. Nintendo breaks with more than 20 years of video game history by abandoning the traditional controller held with two hands and introducing an all-new freehand-style unit held with one hand. The intuitive pioneering interface allows player to run, jump, spin, slide, shoot, steer, accelerate, bank, dive, kick, throw, and score in a way never experienced in the history of gaming. The feeling is so natural and real, as soon as players use the controller, their minds will spin with the possibilities of how this will change gaming as we know it today, explains Satoru Iwata, not in a quote written by a PR guy. This is an extremely exciting innovation, one that will thrill current players and entice new ones. There's still a lot more. And the rest of it just kind of talking about how, like, it can be picked up, pointed at the screen, motion controls, the nunchuck attachment is mentioned for the first time, and then talking about how publishers are stoked for it. Now, but like, I guess, what do you guys think of the language that Nintendo used to introduce this controller?
Yeah. It's exactly what it ended up to be. So.
Yeah. It's once again, like, the comparisons to how the Switch was revealed are just, like, so clear. Like, it's very focused on, like, this is what we want to show you. And there was more to it, as we would later find out. Much like the Switch, there was more to it than that initial reveal. But it is, it's kind of eerie.
Yeah. It definitely is.
All right, so then fast forward a couple months, and we're in 2006. That's the year that we're talking about right now. And in April in 2006, the name was revealed. No longer was it a revolution. It was the Wii. I guess, Don, what did you think of that name when you first remembered hearing it?
I remember it seeing it the first time on my local Nintendo website when they just had a new redesign, and then a day later they picked up the news about the Wii name. And at first I sort of laughed at the name. Then like 10 minutes later, I was like, I'm reading the description of why they chose the name Wii. I was like, I understand this.
Yeah, as in
why they've chosen it.
As a Nintendo fan, you can really like drink that Kool-Aid of like, yeah, the symbolism of the two eyes and like we together. I believe in this. This will be great.
Well, it's not necessarily thought that would be like the best thing ever, but I understand why they chose that name.
Right.
Yeah.
You buy into the thought process.
It was very simple. I mean, and I feel like I didn't initially get the whole "we would like to play" concept like that until they started doing that ad campaign. I was just kind of like, it just sounds like a dirty euphemism. And that's it.
Which it was often.
Yeah, it was. It still is. I mean,
it was a wild success.
Yeah. I mean, it is kind of weird looking back. We actually have an editorial on the site from May 2006 with the beautiful title written by Rick Powers. "We will get over it, won't we?" And you can guess what those "we's" are spelled like. And it's just basically slamming Nintendo for how ridiculous the name is. But it is kind of all the people that critique the name. They should have gotten a pretty big "I told you so" from Nintendo. Because the Wii sold over 100 million units and really did become a phenomenon.
Yes.
But yeah, I think that's the Wii's life before it came out. Should we get to talking about games now? So at launch, we had three games from Nintendo. Launch was November 19th, 2006 in North America. At launch, we had Wii Sports, Zelda Twilight Princess, and Excite Truck. Let's talk about the most important game first. That would be Excite Truck. Excite Truck was actually, that might have been the first Wii game I ever played.
Wii Sports would be my first.
Yeah.
I think Excite Truck would be my second.
I remember, well, I went to a GameStop because they had like demos there. You had to like give your license so they would hand you a Wii remote then because that, you know, wasn't tethered at all. And they were worried about people running off with it. I played it there. I was in college at the time and I was about a half an hour bus ride from New York City. So at what was then Nintendo World Store, they had Wii demos set up and I went there two or three times to go play the demos set up there. Like I played the Zelda demo that was there. They had some Wii Sports. It was all like super, super exciting. I mean, as far as Excite Truck goes, I think that game is incredible. I was skeptical when I heard that the Excite Bike name was the Excite name was coming back as someone who, for some reason, had nostalgic fondness for Excite Bike, despite the fact that whenever I go back to it now, I think it's really dumb. Excite Truck kind of blew me away. It's probably one of my favorite like arcade car games ever. But how about you guys? Did you like Excite Truck?
I didn't play Excite Truck until like way, way, way later. It definitely wasn't one of the launch games for me.
Excite Truck was a super fun game, and I still really like it. I went back to it, I think, maybe 2 years ago now. And I'm still impressed with how that game plays because you hold it really sideways. And it was such a cool innovation at the time. And then you would just really tilt your controller and you'd lose all of these tricks. And it was super fun to play. But like the high octane action in that game was just incredible. I just really loved playing it.
Yeah, and it was like, even if like there was two player, but the two player wasn't that great.
It was okay.
But I would have a ton of fun just sitting around with like a friend or two and just passing around the controller and like trying to get high scores and trying to unlock deeper into the campaign there. And that was a blast because it would be like that kind of the discovery process of finding shortcuts. And it just felt good when like you would get the boost the right way and shove down the controller and stuff like that. And yeah, I like that. I like that game a whole lot. I mean, Bots is better in every way. Yeah. Bots is like the perfect game.
Unfortunately, Europe never got Bots. Yeah. So.
And I think we'll talk about that in two episodes. I think it was 2009.
Something like that. But yeah, I played Excite Truck and all of those games at an event locally like a month or so before release, because we got it on the 8th of December, if I remember correctly. And they had, it was, there's now a defunct convention called Gameplay, where they used to be in these gigantic halls with all the console manufacturers there. And they had this fantastic setup where every booth for Wii was one separate game, and they had an entire booth just dedicated to those games. And I played, I was there from 10 to 5 just playing Wii games. And there's likely, you won't be able to find those articles anymore, but I used to write them already. I just started. So I, there are some really bad written articles about my thoughts on various Wii games somewhere in an internet archive. But yeah, it's then when I first picked up Excite Truck and I realized that I needed this at launch together with Wii Sports and a few others.
So let's move on to another launch game. How about, I guess, John, you pick. Do you want to talk about Twilight Princess or Wii Sports?
Let's talk about Twilight Princess, because everybody, Wii Sports, these do sports.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Wii Sports changed gaming. Maybe temporarily, but it changed the hell out of gaming.
Made your grandma a gamer.
But Excite Truck had an option to load custom soundtracks.
That was pretty good. but anyway, So Zelda. Zelda was really exciting. That was something that was 2+ years in the waiting. And I know I was. Much like I'm waiting for Breath of the Wild when the Switch launches, the parallels keep on coming.
Yeah.
I was very excited for Twilight Princess. Now, John, what do you remember of the hype for Twilight Princess and the eventual release?
So, I remember, I think it was in a Nintendo Power Art magazine. They had a DVD with all of, it must have been around E3, when they first announced it for the GameCube. They had a DVD with the first trailer for Twilight Princess come with a Nintendo Power magazine. And I watched that trailer over and over and over again. Because that was YouTube wasn't really a thing that you were watching game trailers on. So, getting, a DVD with, a nice quality trailer was, pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Watched that over and over again. And then finally, when the Wii did come out, obviously it was impossible to get. But at the time, Amazon did this weird thing where you could get a Wii, but you had to buy, half the launch library with it in order for them to give you one. So to get Twilight Princess, I also wound up with Madden 07 and Tony Hawk Downhill Jam and Marvel Ultimate Alliance and a bunch of other games that I don't really like, but got Twilight Princess. So that's all that really mattered.
Yeah, I got Twilight Princess on launch day, and I recall I had friends. I went to a midnight launch. I waited outside of Target overnight. Went back, played some Wii Sports with some friends, and then people fell asleep, because that's what you should do when you stay up overnight to get a video game system, I guess. But my friend and I, we set up TVs right next to each other and started playing Twilight Princess. And that was a very special moment that I remember fondly. And I just, I played that game. I forsook college classes and played Twilight Princess constantly for a week. It was bad.
I played Sick quite a few times to get through some dungeons on that game.
I played Twilight Princess all the way through during the first week of, like, after relaunch in Europe. And I enjoyed it, but I didn't really thought it was anything too special to me.
Yeah, looking back, especially on the Wii version, while there was a lot of hype going into it and I enjoyed it, definitely the worst version of that game. And, like, just kind of a pretty good Zelda game.
I just don't think I really like Twilight Princess in hindsight at all.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's a good game, I will give it that, but it's not really my cup of tea.
It's right. Definitely not the best 3D Zelda has to offer.
I can't find anything on my live journal about going to play the Wii before it came out. I'm just figuring out. I'll say that. I am wondering about the seventh Harry Potter book, though.
But I did play a whole bunch of Wii Sports, and it's one of those moments because even before Wii came out, I used to play a lot of games with my family. This was the first time that they continued wanted to play more than I was wanted to. They were like, oh, now we're going to play bowling for an hour. It's like, that's cool. I'm going to do something else. I will be back. And they spent like a good 6-7 hours on that Saturday after lunch playing Wii Sports.
Yeah, because I don't think my parents really played it as much until I was home for Christmas break. My dad and I would play bowling and golf a lot. And he got pretty good at golf. So much so that when I got the Wii U, I gave them my old Wii. And my dad played a lot of Wii Sports golf then.
I played a whole bunch of bowling and golf.
Yeah, those were, I think bowling and tennis were my two favorites.
Tennis was the best.
If we had to rank the five Wii Sports.
Okay.
I think bowling is the best, right?
I put tennis above bowling.
I would put golf first.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I think the top three, I think we can all agree that the top three, the order we might differ on, but bowling, mm-hmm. golf, and tennis.
Yeah. Bowling, and then golf, baseball, and...
Yeah, boxing.
Baseball would be my number three. Tennis would be my number four.
Okay.
Yeah, and like five baseball would be boxing.
Maybe baseball, I was just always bad at baseball, and that's why I didn't like it.
Baseball I didn't hate. It's just that maybe it's like bowling. The thing that I liked about that in Wii Sports is that it just was bowling. Like, there wasn't any layer of abstraction. You just bowled. Whereas with baseball, there was a lot of abstraction. Like, you just pitched and swung the bat, which was still cool, but, like, it wasn't totally baseball. It was kind of like it was a Nintendo approximation of it. I still enjoyed baseball. I don't think it's bad. I think boxing is bad. It's fun. It's funny to do once, and then it's just bad. But hopefully arms will make it good.
Yeah, arms is the boxing we all deserved.
Yes.
It's funny that I think that the boxing on Wii is still better on the one Wii Sports Club.
I never actually played the Wii Sports Club boxing. I think I played...
There's a weird charm to the one on Wii where even though it's not really accurate, it's still really fun to do and move yourself left and to right. They made that a whole bunch of more complicated but didn't really improve the mechanics a lot in the Wii U version. So,
yeah, because you can use two Wii remotes in that one, can't you?
Yeah, and it feels actually really bad.
Ooh.
Like, really bad.
I think there's something to be said about when you're doing boxing. I feel like boxing on Wii works better by having the cord between the controllers. Because I think it kind of limits your movements a little bit. Whereas I feel like if they were both separated, and like arms seems more designed around having your arms be separated. Yeah, whereas Wii Sports, I think, was more designed about having them close together and kind of going a little more in harmony.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's funny how I think that boxing is both the worst in the original and the Wii U remake.
Yeah, no, I mean boxing kind of sucks.
It's also why they packaged boxing in the Wii U game together with baseball.
Yeah, I never played baseball in Wii Sports Club, but I guess we'll talk more about Wii Sports Club in a number of episodes.
Yeah, sure,
because that'll come up. But yeah, those were Nintendo's three launch games. They're the three games that came out in 2006. I think in Japan, like WarioWare came out in December. Maybe yes, we played it.
It came December 12th.
Yeah, but we won't be talking about those in the early in the 2007 episode. We're going by North America releases here. It's where most of us are based. Sorry, Don.
Hey,
if we're doing it by European releases, we're never talking about Excitebots. So
that's true.
So
you won't be able to talk for Xenoblade for another episode.
So now let's move on to the third-party games that came out around launch. There weren't too many games that came out after November 19th, so we're going to lump in those couple games we're talking about with just talking about all the third-party retail games that came out on the Wii in 2006. Ubisoft, I think they were probably the most notable supporter of Wii at launch, as they usually are for console releases, period. No matter who it is, even maybe the games aren't good, but they'll be there. For Wii, they had two kind of high profile Wii exclusive games in Rayman Raving Rabbids and Red Steel. These are two games that I bought on day one.
Me too.
Yeah. Red Steel kind of like, I was like hoping for like a GoldenEye vibe there. Like there was sword fighting. That seemed fun. And then the single player kind of wasn't really that fun, and the multiplayer sucked. Yeah, the multiplayer was fun in the fact that none of us had played first person shooters with a Wii Remote and nunchuck, so that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Red Steel's a big disappointment.
In hindsight, that multiplayer is still not very good, but it was enjoyable for what it was back then.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing that you guys like the multiplayer better than the single player. I thought the multiplayer was just unplayably bad. The multiplayer was terrible.
I think that my fond memories of that multiplayer have to do with the tantamount rule in games and that everything's better with friends. I don't think the multiplayer was good. It was just there. It's kind of like how, although I have way more fond memories of Perfect Dark Zero than I do Red Steel, but it's like at the 360 launch, I played the shit out of Perfect Dark Zero. That is a horrible game. That's a really bad game, but it's all I got, and I could do like big bot matches and stuff. Like I had a good time with it. I finished the single player Perfect Dark Zero. Didn't finish Red Steel.
Red Steel, like, you know, as a, like, in motion, it was kind of choppy, the controls didn't really work, but, like, seeing, like, images of it, it was kind of that game that you could cling to and be like, no, Wii games look pretty good, like, they're not HD, but, like, it looks okay.
And then, once
you actually see it playing, it runs at, like, 10 frames per second, and your gun is, like, going off, but you can turn the gun sideways, all sins forgiven.
Yeah.
10 out of 10.
And the sword stuff in Red Steel, like, I look forward to talking about Red Steel, too.
Me too.
That game's so good.
I like that game.
Yeah, I like that game a lot.
I like the first one too, but
I don't like the first one at all.
Let's talk about the other major Ubisoft game, Rayman Raving Rabbids, which is a game that I played a lot and really enjoyed at launch. I don't think I ever want to play it again. But it was before minigame collections got old.
I I alluded to this multiple times on multiple podcasts, but I went back to a whole bunch of Wii games, and one of them was Rayman Raven Rabbids. And to be honest, I still kind of like Rayman Raven Rabbids. It was fun to play around with. The minigames were more tolerable than some minigame collections that came later in the Wii life cycle. And it had some sound ideas that I really enjoyed, especially some of the, like, the rhythm game was really fun, and some of the random throwaway ones were cool. And I still think they're enjoyable, even though the controls right now are kind of dated. But it's overall, though, it's still one of the better minigame collections that the Wii has produced.
My nephews, every time they play my Wii, still want to play that game, which I will never understand, but the, just never get tired of it, I guess.
I mean, the games that came, some of the games that came after in that Raven Rabbit series were absolutely better, but I feel that the hub that they built and the way that they built up that game was way better than any game after outside of Rabbids Go Home.
Yeah, Rabbids Go Home is incredible. Like, that I love that game. But yeah, Rayman Raving Rabbids was a good launch game. It's the kind of launch game you want. Something fun, light. So Sega did support the Wii with Super Monkey Ball and Banana Blitz. We were talking before the show, Don.
Yes.
I don't have terribly fond memories of this game. I don't think I ever owned it. I had a friend who owned it, and we, you know, played some of the single player, screwed around with the multiplayer. Didn't really stick too much. But you said you had fonder memories of this.
I did, yeah. I enjoyed a single player campaign of that game a ton. I would say that the bosses are the thing where it kind of breaks it apart, because the bosses are just free hits to win, and they are very obvious how you need to hit them. The levels themselves, I would say that they use the mechanics of Monkey Ball to their ultimate form, because they had a lot more physics involved than the two games on GameCube, and next to that, the jumping mechanic made some really interesting skips possible in levels, which made also some grand time trials possible. So I had a really good time playing Super Monkey Ball Banana Blitz, and I still think it's a really good game. The mini games, I'm half and half on. Some of them are good, and some of them are the worst. And there's not a good in between there. They went back and forth all the way through, and there were like 50 of them. So, like, you need to play them to understand which are good or bad. So at this point in time now, I know, okay, I need to go to Monkey Target, I need to go to Monkey Race, that sort of stuff. But back then, it's just trying them out and seeing what works. And they were quite substantial minigames too. So that made you want to figure out what was fun. But it was one where you had to constantly flick up the Wii remote and jump, and it was just, wow, oh my god. Overall, I liked playing Banana Blitz.
How about you, John? Did you ever play Banana Blitz?
No. I avoid buying Sega games whenever possible.
So the next game that we have on the list, Tony Hawk's Downhill Jam, which I never really played, but it was kind of the start. Tony Hawk's Downhill Jam, I think, was kind of one of the games that might have been emblematic of the casualization of the Nintendo market and the Wii market. Because it's you had expansive, like, open world Tony Hawk games, and then Downhill Jam is what it sounds like, a game where you're going downhill.
This was one of the games I got, like, with right away. You guys obviously know, but like, this was during a time where Tony Hawk games were like really good.
Yeah.
Like, this was a good time for Tony Hawk games. So like, I went into this game like, okay, here we go. And it was terrible. It was just bad. And like, it did like the whole like tilting the controller thing, but not in the way that like an intelligent human would apply that to the Wii remote. Held it like forward and which is terrible. Yeah. I think they expected you to stand on your Wii remote or something, like a skateboard.
Maybe they were presaging the balance board.
Yeah, it was a bad time. And like, it had Tony Hawk in it and no other actual people. Like, all the other skaters were like, no, that looks like it sucks. We don't want to be in that.
Fun fact, Tony Hawk's Downhill Jam is developed by Toys for Bob.
That's funny.
So they would later go on to make a successful Wii game in Skylanders.
They did.
So the next game on the list is Trauma Center Second Opinion. This is a very good game. This is my introduction to the Trauma Center series. I don't think I got it at launch, but like the Trauma Center games are really good. I would like to see them come back. Did either of you guys play this one?
I definitely did. Also played the original because this was a remake of Under the Knife,
yes,
which was a Nintendo DS game. I would say that the Wii version is superior in every given way.
Yeah, I mean, and the subsequent Wii games that came out that were Trauma Center games, there was New Blood and then Trauma Team. Trauma Team is, like, I think one of the best games on the Wii.
Trauma Team is one of those games, again, that never came out in Europe, so I only picked it up very recently.
That sucks. But yeah, that game's great.
Because, and here's why. All the previous Trauma Center games were published by Nintendo in Europe.
Oh, and then Trauma Team wasn't. That's sad.
Yeah, I don't know why that happened, but it's an interesting piece of trivia. But they were promoting those games as their own. Like Trauma Center, they were pushing hard. And it showed me what the Wii Remote could bring to the table in comparison to the touchscreen of the Nintendo DS. And I found it way more innovative to move my cursor around and do the tasks at hand that way.
Yeah, it's a very good game. Next on the list is more Activision representation of Marvel Ultimate Alliance. This is a game I played all the way through on Wii and kind of wish I didn't. It's not a terribly good version of this game. This is what I would learn a lot through the early Wii days, is I would stubbornly, as a person who, I had an Xbox 360, I got that at launch of the 360, but I would always kind of side towards Wii because I liked the Wii Remote a lot, and I would want to see what developers would do with that. And that was, like, 8 times out of 10, a mistake. Marvel Ultimate Alliance was one of those mistakes. I still played a lot of that, played a lot of co-op of that game with my roommate back in college, but it's a bad version of a good game.
I never played the Wii version. I only played it on Xbox 360.
Good for you.
The Wii version is the only one I've played. I know I should go and play the good versions, but it's hard when you've been hurt so deeply.
No,
it's hard to like trust again.
It's hard, but I skipped it altogether because the good thing is, during that period, still games would come later out in Europe, so I would have already seen them.
You would know what to avoid.
It's a blessing.
Somehow, yeah.
So I guess let's move on from Ultimate Alliance so we don't open up more Ultimate wounds.
Nice.
I played a bunch of Dragon Ball Z Budokai Tenkaichi 2. My roommate in college actually bought this game with the explicit purpose of playing on my Wii. I don't know if he ever got a Wii, but he got that damn Dragon Ball game, and we played a lot of it. He unlocked like every character. It's probably the Dragon Ball fighting game that I put the most time into by far. And that was like kind of like a dopey way of like, here's how we can do motion controls in like a more traditional game. And like, yeah, that they probably wouldn't hold up the scrutiny now, but back in 2006, I enjoyed that a lot.
It was a really good game back in the day, and I still think it's enjoyable, but it's severely outclassed by Budokai 3.
Okay. Yeah, I've never played that one before, but maybe I'll look into it at some point, or just wait for
Budokai 3 had a ton more characters, and they added also all the characters from the second game in it, so they had the most complete roster in that game, and it had online play and stuff, which was impressive for the early days of Wii. Cool. But 2 is still a good game, even though it was a bit more complex than I would like.
So next on the list is Madden 2007. I assume I was the only person that played that out of the group.
I
would you have guessed?
I got that one.
Oh,
that was one of, to get the Wii, you had to have. Yeah. So it was
you were tricked.
For some reason, I own Madden 07. I think I tried to play it one time. I had no... the problem is I don't like football, so that didn't help. Yeah.
I think that the best thing... And I think that the Wii Madden games turned into something special. You can just look at my reviews. I think starting... I think I reviewed like Madden 2010. And I thought that was really good. Like, surprisingly so.
Didn't they eventually kind of spin off in their own...
Yeah, like they would do like goofier graphics. I actually and we'll, when we get to talking about like 2010, I can talk about how for being the one person who's positive about Madden on Wii on the internet, I got flown down to Tiburon to cover Madden 2011. So we'll get to there, but. I actually have a lot of kind of neat articles from that trip in which I like talked to the art director and like they were heavily inspired by Pixar and like there was like a Coke commercial around that time that like that had like a unique art style as well, and they did kind of go kind of goofy. But 2007, in the here and now in 2006, that game was more like here's a Madden-ass Madden game, and we put in motion controls. And I had fun playing that in multiplayer, which, once again, a lot of these Wii games, if they had multiplayer, it was usually fun because you were just kind of flailing around, figuring out what the hell these things did. Mm. And I remember playing a lot of that with like friends and my brother around when the Wii came out. But this, like, it was a game that was rough around the edges, typical of like early sports games on new consoles.
Actually, I was more of a soccer guy, and I still am. But like FIFA went in a similar direction as Madden, where the first 2 years felt like they tried to copy what they were doing on their consoles, and then they did that whole all-star mode with mini games with the Miis and everything.
All play, I think it was. I think it was 2009 games. It was like, you know, like Madden All Play 09.
And I think those are the ones I have the most fond memories of.
But yeah, that's Madden. And then now we're to the third-party games that came out in December of 2006. The first one is the weird Konami game, Elebits, which had a DS sequel? Like, what the hell?
That was a European launch title.
Okay.
So we got it 4 days before North America.
Oh, damn, but we already had the system for several weeks. but Elebits was just like this weird first-person shooter where you're trying to find these little creatures in like your home in town. I beat this game. It's been long time since I played it. It's weird. It's really cool, but it's so weird.
It's still a really good game. I played this again very recently, and I was too impressed with how good those controls felt and what you were doing in that game. It still is a really good game.
Yeah, because you'd use the cursor, probably one of the earlier better uses of that kind of gameplay. I mean, especially if you're seeing if it still holds up. But yeah, you're just trying to capture Elebits and extract their energy, and then like power the world. And I think like there might be some trouble with your parents. I don't know. It's a Konami game.
It was a really weird-ass story, but the gameplay itself was.
Yeah.
Really fun.
And you could create your own stages, too. It was like a physics sandbox, almost. It almost seemed like it was...
The toy box, you could really screw up that toy box and really max it out, which was hilarious.
But, yeah, it was a really neat game. If you've never checked it out, I recommend trying to find a cheap copy, if you're really curious. It's kind of... I feel like, because it was... Especially in North America, because it wasn't there at launch... It probably fell by the wayside a little bit, but Elebits is still a game that I feel like, I mean, looking at this third party list, I think that's probably my favorite third party game from around the Wii launch.
As far as like for my launch like stuff goes, I think it was all the Nintendo stuff, Rayman Rave Rabbids Red Steel, and then Super Monkey Ball, and I think immediately after that I picked up Elebits.
So, how about Super Swing Golf, Don?
How about Super Swing Golf?
I don't know. I'm asking you. I didn't play Super Swing Golf.
It was one of the first full-featured golf games on Wii, which was done by Koei Tecmo of all developers. And they were very smart in implementing ideas with that game because they were the first to really add additional benefits to the Wii Remote control, where you could really customize how you would aim a shot, how you would handle it, how you would line up, and then you would do like the swing stuff that you would know from Wii Sports. They had a whole bunch of courses in there. Some of them were also inspired by their games and had special characters in there too. And it was also one of the first Wii games to support online play.
Ah. Yeah, because there was nothing there day one that supported online play, I don't think.
No, this was the first official Wii game that supported online play.
Interesting.
If I can recall from that period, I used I bought a LAN adapter almost immediately after, solely to play a whole bunch of that game online, and it was so super fun. It was outclassed by some other golf games later in its life cycle, but I think for what it was at launch, it was a very complete package.
I guess before we move on to talking about a virtual console, John, anything to add on either of those games?
No, I've not played either of those games. Okay. So
that is totally fine. It's not a requirement to be on the Wii Under years to have played every Wii game, although it helps. Just be passionate about the ones you played. But so now we're going to virtual console, which is this big new thing that Nintendo introduced. It was so exciting. And now it's kind of like commonplace and we all take it for granted. It's weird.
And it's actually become marginally worse too.
Yeah, yeah. It's but like what was there on day one was impressive. Like you had, you know, like a half dozen NES games. You had Super Mario 64, you had F-Zero and SimCity on Super Nintendo. They weren't all there right at launch, but you had a ton of Sega Genesis games, a ton of TurboGrafx games. Just such a good variety. I have some of the games that came out in 2006 listed out here, and I guess I'll just kind of read off at least the games that I think are notable from that early virtual console run.
Sure.
Out of the ones that came out on November 19th, The Legend of Zelda on NES was out then, so was SimCity, Super Mario 64, Sonic the Hedgehog. Those were there day one on your Wii. We also had, coming out later, Super Mario Brothers was out Christmas that year. Ristar on Sega Genesis, which is a phenomenal game made by Sonic Team that I played for the first time on Wii. That was after I, you know, got through my Twilight Princess and was taking a break from bowling. I played Ristar at the end of 2006, and I adore that game. I think it's really good. It's might be one of the best things Sonic Team has ever made.
Yeah, I agree with that.
We also, and even more so in December on for the Genesis Virtual Console, Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, which is it's Puyo Pop. And that's one of my favorite iterations of Puyo Puyo to ever come out is Mean Bean Machine. Gunstar Heroes was out then, which is a phenomenal game as well, made by Treasure. ToeJam & Earl was out on Christmas, and then on the TurboGrafx, some of the highlights there in 2006 were Bomberman 93 and Bonk's Adventure.
My personal experience with the virtual console was pretty much that. I was playing a whole bunch of games I've played and never played before, so it was a good combination. I feel that during those initial launch weeks, I played a lot of Super Mario 64 and a lot of Sonic the Hedgehog because it was... I didn't own Sonic the Hedgehog ever myself, but I played it a lot with friends, so I could finally say I own my very own copy of Sonic the Hedgehog. But that was not really a bad game, I felt, during that launch period of the virtual console. They were very deliberate in what they chose. And I end up with a whole bunch of stuff at the end of the day, solely because I just wanted to play more. After Super Mario 64, though, I think what I mostly played until 2007 was likely Gunstar Heroes because I had some really good memories with that game.
That was another game that was the first time I ever played it was on the Wii, and that's a a great game.
With those, with those early N64 games on there too, like, you don't really think about it now, but when you compare those to like the actual like N64 games, like, they were kind of HD remasters. Like, I mean, they upped the resolution for the Wii Virtual Console from
not HD, because the Wii did not have HDMI cables.
Okay, the 480p remasters.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, which, I mean, from going from 240 to 480 is a big frickin' jump. And even, like, I mean, they also did, you know, like, cleaned up, like, draw distances and little graphical issues. They weren't just, like, straight, like, here's this dumped onto your console. Like, they were nice packages.
But
I felt it with like Virtual Console in general, especially the Genesis or Mega Drive for me stuff was really super clean, and they likely didn't come to Wii U because they couldn't replicate that at all, because they really, like, the Wii was built also to support all of that and really make sure that Virtual Console games would run well as well.
Yeah. I mean, especially comparing like the N64 games, how they look on Wii Virtual Console to the Wii version. John, you've actually been doing videos for Nintendo Report TV comparing N64, Wii Virtual Console, and Wii Virtual Console for N64 games.
It's really depressing.
Yeah, like the answer, it didn't dawn on me until I think I cracked open my N64 and put in Super Mario 64. After I'd just been playing it on Wii U a lot. And I was just like, what the...
That colors exist? Good?
Yeah, like... Yeah. Like, it's so weird. Like, the Virtual Console, especially the N64 games on Wii U, look like trash.
They look terrible. Like, the Super Nintendo and, like, Game Boy, like, that stuff, it's a little dark, but it's okay. But N64 on there is just...
It's bad. It's
terrible. And, like, there are weird, like... When me and Nicholas were doing the Majora's Mask, when we came across like weird loading issues on the Wii U, like, it's that N64 Virtual Console on Wii U is very just bad. It's terrible.
I just bought like two Virtual Console games on Wii U because elsewhere I just would boot up Wiimote and play them there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
a better option.
Yeah. Well, for me, like Majora's Mask and Star Fox, I'll take the extra step and just boot up my Wii version and not play the Wii U version, because it's just much better.
Yep. But yeah, I mean, Virtual Console back in 2006, like that, it was really mind blowing. I've been talking to people as of recording this. We don't know what the Switch Virtual Console landscape is going to be, but looking at like what was there on day one on Wii on Virtual Console with like the, you know, 15, 20 games that were there at launch, a wide variety of things that like you never really had the chance to play before or play in that way. That was really cool. And it kind of sucks because I don't think Nintendo can really replicate that, even if they tried. Like right now, the only way I think to have the Switch Virtual Console be as exciting as the Wii Virtual Console launch is just say, like, everything on the Wii U Virtual Console is going to be on the Switch on day one, which I don't think there's a snowball chance in hell of that happening.
No way.
And there's also the thing that the Virtual Console on Wii was such a diverse entity.
Yeah. And like, you...
Obscure stuff on there.
And yeah, I mean, you had all the Hudson games with TurboGrafx. Like, I discovered games... Yeah. I discovered games on the Virtual Console that I didn't even know existed. Mainly because like I like the TurboGrafx was this mythical thing that I'd never seen in the wild by the time I played the Wii. I've since held a TurboGrafx in my hand at a game convention and almost bought one.
TurboGrafx is awesome, yeah.
Yeah, but like, I mean, there's so many good games that came out that there were TurboGrafx games, and then they added TurboGrafx CD support down the line too. And like it was such a good discovery tool, and it's just so disheartening. And I've long been a person who's kind of defended Virtual Console because I still like it in practice, and this will probably be the meanest I ever get about it. But from how hopeful and cool that thing was in 2006 to where it is now, it sucks. Because right now all we have are it's Nintendo re-releasing games for the eighth time. It's rarely something totally unique. And you know what? We're probably going to get Mother 3 in the near future. That's going to be awesome. And that's worth all the hassle of just seeing Nintendo, you know, re-release games that I can play better remakes of on my 3DS. Like, that'll be worth all the hassle just to get Mother 3 in English, if/when that happens. But, you know, it's just, like, it's just, it's only Nintendo now, and it's a bummer, because it was cooler when it was...
And honestly, it's why I still have my Japanese and American Wii hooked up, because I don't really do the European ones because of those 50 hertz, and now in hindsight, it was a really bad idea. But it's still why I have those two versions of Wii hooked up here, because they are a way better way to experience old games than what Nintendo ever tried on Wii U, ever tried. And also, Japan had the most arcade games of them all, and I love those arcade games. Like, they had the original ass version of Space Invaders on there. How cool is that?
That is very cool. So I think that kind of does it for the first episode here of the Weyonder Years, covering the year 2006. Do you guys have any, John, let's start with you. Any kind of summarizing thoughts for the first month and a half of the Wii?
It was like that little brief window of time in owning a Nintendo console where like the rest of like mainstream gaming culture was kind of like apprehensive, but like still okay with you. Before they all decided, like, nope, kids' games, you suck, get out. And so it was, you know, a great time of still feeling included and, like, this system might be accepted by everyone. I mean, it was, but not. It was before we realized that we as Nintendo gamers would be relegated into this corner and put aside and, you know, you are not allowed to talk to the 360 and PS3 real gamers. So, a happier
time. Wii 60, man. Wii 60. That's what it was all about.
Coming back to the subject matter, I really enjoyed that first, like, the honeymoon period with Wii. a lot of good virtual console stuff. There were some notable games that I played at launch throughout that December, and then we slowly moved into 2007.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I this was a really exciting time for me. It was, you know, the first time I got a Nintendo home console on launch day. It even kind of ties in, and I guess we'll get a little personal to close it out. I'd actually met who would later become my wife in September of 2006. And waiting on, I went back for, because it was a Thanksgiving weekend when I waited online for the Wii. So freshman year of college, I had this girlfriend. We started officially dating like 3 weeks before the Wii came out. Mm-hmm. And the first time she met the majority of my friends from home was waiting overnight for the Wii. And she waited in line. She bought a console for my brother. So that was very nice of her. And we're still together to this day.
Aww.
All thanks to the Wii.
Yep. It's all thank you, Wii. And there was one time when I was drinking in college, probably in 2006, might have been 2007, where I was playing bowling and I went back with my hand and I accidentally hit her in the face. It was one of those things where, like, I was not cognizant of the small space of the dorm room and just reared back and was like, oh no.
They put a warning specifically for those situations, and
you have to clear the room, you have to go outside. Right.
You don't want to, like, hit anybody or knock over a vase. Like, that's specifically, you're just
mistakes were made.
for me, that Wii period was also really important, because if my intrigue for Wii and DS wasn't there, I wouldn't have started doing what I'm doing now 11 years ago.
Aww.
Because I started doing it in March 2006, and that's when we really started to hear about what Revolution would be like. And I was intrigued and I wanted to keep up. So I decided to move writing into about games, joined a small site, which is defunct now, and the rest is history.
Well, that'll do it for episode one of the Weyonder Years. Next episode, we'll go to 2007, where we will talk about such things as, that dope Angel minigame, multiplayer minigame in WarioWare Smooth Moves. the majesty that is Super Mario Galaxy, the brilliance that is Mario Strikers Charged and Metroid Prime 3 Corruption, and a whole lot more. A lot of third-party games, too. Resident Evil 4, probably the definitive version of Resident Evil 4, in my opinion. But there will be in a whole lot of virtual console. So stay tuned. Next time, the Beyond Our Years will return. Thank you for listening. You used to call me all night. Bye. You used to, and stop. Yeah. You used to call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. Hey, I know when that hotline bling, that can only mean one thing. I know when that hotline bling, that can only mean one thing. Ever since I left the city, you got a reputation for yourself, my. Everybody knows and I feel left out. Girl, you got me down, you got me stressed out. 'Cause ever since I left the city, you